Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Everybody said, well, I wish I just knew God's will. I wish I just knew God. Well, let me give you one of God's wills for your life. That is that you give thanks in all circumstances. You give thanks in all circumstances. It said, give thanks in all circumstances. I remember a guy found a buddy of his and he was so depressed. And he said, why are you so depressed? He said, well, about 3 weeks ago, my aunt died, left me $45,000. He said, what? He said, yeah, well, 2 weeks ago, my uncle died, left me $100,000. He said, well, no, a week ago, I won the lottery, $500,000. He said, this week. We don't do that, do we? We don't do that, do we? And in our lives, when we, you know, you've got, all of us had seasons when we're so thankful to the Lord for what he's done. And then we get places where we realize that we don't realize we've started complaining and we've got an entitlement mentality in our lives where we think we are owed something by God. That somehow we have a entitlement to what we think we should have. And I've learned this. If God doesn't do one more thing for me the rest of my life, he's already done more than I ever deserve. Come on, somebody. He's already done more than we should have ever gotten in our lives. And so there's this entitlement program. I remember one time Jack Hinton was going down the street. And I mean, he went overseas on a missions trip. And I was reading his story one time. He said, I was at a leper colony. And he said, one of the women turned around. And we were in a song service. She turned around and he said, I saw her. And he said, I won't even describe, but she was a leper. He said, I won't even describe it. And he said, I'll never forget. She raised her hand and she asked, can we sing Count Your Many Blessings? Name them one by one. And he said, I never forgot that song request in my entire life. Because I thought what the condition she was in, what she was facing, what she had experienced already in her life. And she wanted to sing, can we count our many blessings? Name them one by one. We live in America. We live in a country that when you travel overseas, you just literally find. But you know, Thanksgiving, this holiday that we're celebrating, was not created by people that had abundance. It was created by the pilgrims. It was created, and I won't go through the story, but the hard winters and how half of them died and all that they had to survive on, 5 kernels of corn, and you've heard all that story. But can you imagine them setting aside a day? Unlike Christmas, when you make a list of all that you want, all the other holidays, New Year's, you make a list of what you're going to change. You know, Thanksgiving ought to be a season when you make a list of everything you want to be thankful for. Come on. You got to make you a list of all that you breathe, and you're here this morning. You're free this morning. On and on. Dr. Dale Robinson wrote this. He says, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But then he said, I realized that they have problems because they complain. I used to think people had a lot of problems. That's why they complain. Till he said, as a doctor, I discerned this, he said. They have a lot of problems because they complain. They don't complain because they have a lot of problems. They have a lot of problems because they are complainers. Let me ask you, are you a complainer this morning? Psalm 77:3 says it this way. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and what happened? I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed in me. Let me tell you something that complaining will do for you. Complaining will literally have your spirit overwhelmed in you. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Look what Philippians 2:14 says. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. One translation says, do all things without complaining. You ever had somebody around you, all they did was complain? You knew they were going, no matter what you did, they were going to complain. Dad and mom, when they first got married, the first fight, they tell us the story, the first fight they ever had was mom baked a cake that fell apart. And dad said, why don't you go get a hairnet and put on it? Come on, somebody. One of the things about it says, in all things, if they, you've got to come to a place where you realize one of the greatest testimonies you'll ever have in your life is when you become a person that doesn't complain. When everybody else is telling how bad a boss, how bad a worker, how bad the hours is, how bad the job, how bad the task is, when you don't complain, you'll be a great light. In fact, Philippians goes on in verse 14 and says, you'll be lights in a dark world. But when you give thanks in all things, give thanks. Corrie ten Boom in her the book The Hiding Place, she tells a story once, and she says, when we were first arrested by the Nazis, she said, my sister and I were put in a line, and they made us take all our clothes off. And she said, I knew, and that scripture came to me, in all things give thanks. But she said, Lord, I was so degraded. I was so embarrassed. I felt so humiliated. She said, I didn't know how could I give thanks for a situation like this? And suddenly in her mind came the cross. And she realized and remembered that the paintings of on the cross, when it showed Jesus there with a loincloth and all that, was just literally artists trying to be modest, because the way they crucified people in that day was they literally stripped them naked and then they crucified them. And when Jesus was crucified, he was crucified absolutely naked. And she said, in her mind's eye, it came back that I was suffering as he suffered, and humiliation as he was humiliated. And she said, for a moment, I was experiencing what he experienced. And she said, in my heart rose a thankfulness in my heart that I could experience what he experienced in some small measure. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. In all circumstances, give thanks. If you ask the Lord will give you the ability to give thanks in all circumstances. It'll give you the ability to, and you may not understand at the time, but you will. Robert Bruce tells a story. He said one day he was walking along a busy street in New York City, and he heard a voice singing Amazing Grace. And he said, who sings Amazing Grace on the streets of New York City? And he said, he just, you know, out of curiosity, followed the voice until he came upon it, and there, as a crowd split, was a man in a wheelchair with no legs, singing Amazing Grace. And he looked at him and he said, you know what, I just have to tell you, I'm amazed at what you're doing. And the man said, you know what, I came to that place when I stopped concentrating on what I'd lost, and I started concentrating on what I had left, I could be thankful again. Revelation says it this way: wake up and strengthen what remains that's about to die. Wake up. When you begin to concentrate on what you have left and not what you lost. Oh, man, you won't believe how bad the stock market was. I lost so much, so much, so. Let me tell you, think about how much you got left. Stop concentrating on what you've lost. Begin to concentrate on what you have left, and it'll begin to work in you. You'll strengthen what you've got left. Listen. Be thankful for the taxes you pay. That means you got a job. Come on, somebody. Jasmine wants to send a big thank you. She's in Beirut still. And we took the money, all the money of $4,000-some, and sent it there. And we gave a school that helps the poor kids of the Beirut. They had not paid their teachers in about 3 to 4 months. And so we took the money and we gave part of it to the school itself. But then we took a portion of it and we gave to each teacher a little something. And you should have seen, they said nobody had ever sent us money. They always send money to the kids. They always send money. But these teachers had been working 3 months without any pay and faithful. And when they gave the Odyssey, he said, that you would not believe the thankfulness. That I wish we could have filmed them and just sent them to you. Give the Lord a good clap off, would you? She said the Lord just, and at the end of it, she said, send money. So I'm thankful for the clothes when they are a little bit too. How many of your clothes are a little bit too snug right now? You know what that means? That means you got more than enough to eat. Come on. If you look out and you said, you know, my yard needs to be mowed one more, that means you got a home. Stop complaining. You got to mow the yard. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in this world who love to have a yard to mow like yours. Doesn't mean I'm guilty. It just means I'm grateful. Doesn't make me guilty. Just makes me grateful for what I've got. We began to look at it. I said, I don't have a thing to wear. Come on, somebody. I'll leave that right there. When you have to find the far end of the parking lot, you had to park at the very utter end of the parking lot this Christmas season. When you do that, you just remember this. I got two good legs I can walk on. I can walk there. We've got to park all the way there. On and on. Quit complaining about the government. When you hear somebody complaining about the government, that means, thank God, I live in a country I can't complain about the government. I can do it openly. I can complain about it openly. The lady behind me in church sings off key. That means I got an ear. Come on, somebody. I can hear. I mean, when you begin to thank God in all circumstances, thank Him for everything. You're sitting there all on and on and on. I've got a few things more. Piles of laundry and ironing that Jasmine's going to have when she comes home. Means my loved ones are nearby. I'm going to write that and put it on the door when she comes in, when she sees that. The alarm goes off early in the morning. It means I'm still alive. Come on, all alive people say amen this morning. Luke 17 tells a story of a quite unique story of Jesus healing 10 different men. And they were lepers. And let's just read it. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, watch the command. Go and show yourself to the priest, because none of them are going to be obedient. One of them is going to be disobedient. None of them are going to do what Jesus said to do. One of them is not. And the amazing thing and the twist of the story is that he is impressed with the one that doesn't do what he told him to do. At least immediately. All right. Go and show yourselves to the priest. That's what the law required. And Jesus obeyed the law. And they, as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him what? Now, he was a Samaritan. He always throws that in. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." And many commentators believe, and many scholars believe, he received something more than the other 9. We don't know exactly what. We won't go into all that. But he was not doing what the Lord said. The law required, when you thought you were cleansed of a disease like that, you had to go show yourself to the priest who was like the health inspector of that day. One of his duties was to protect the health of the nation. And so they had a requirement. They had a certain procedure they went through. And the Bible says, as they 10 were going, obedient, they all 10 were cleansed. When one of them, a Samaritan, and by understanding it, the other 9 would have been Jews, they didn't go back and return thanks. They just went on obedient to what but the Bible says there was something in this Samaritan who probably didn't know all the laws of Israel and all this and that. He had something in his heart was told him, go back and give thanks. And sometimes the worst and the most unthankful people are the religious people. Come on, somebody. Are the religious people who think they're entitled to what they're getting. But when you find somebody off the streets that God saves them and wipes them clean, suddenly there's this heart of thankfulness comes up in them. And I don't want to ever get to the place where I feel like I'm entitled to all this stuff God's given me. Every day we ought to lift our heads up and say, thank you, Lord. You gave me one more day to live. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the country I live in. Lord, thank you what you do. In other words, he looked at where God had brought him from. Remember what God's done for you. Isaiah 51 says, remember the rock from which you were hewn, the pit from which you were dug. And remember that we were all sinners at one time. But this one man, he was healed of an infectious disease. As they began to walk, you can imagine the sores began to heal up. The limbs maybe that had fallen off began to reappear. All the amazing things that happened. And the Bible says they just walked right on in obedience to what the Lord had said. But something, listen, you've got to always grab the priority of gratitude. Because above obedience, Jesus looks and never rebukes this man. I told you to go see the priest. Now you go see the priest. Did he say that? The Bible says he received the gratitude that was in this man's heart. And I'm going to tell you, there is a priority of gratitude that goes above everything else in our lives. He reacted differently. He began to come. There's an old rabbi. We've been to Israel many times, and one of the old rabbis told this story. He said a man came and he was not really thankful for all that he had. And when you begin to be, you get out of that place and you get into a entitlement attitude, you become a complainer and somebody that complains about everything. And one time a man came to him, he said, a Jewish man, and said, Rabbi, he said, I cannot stand any longer. Nine of us, my wife and her family and my kids, we all live in one house, nine of us together. I can't stand it no more. And the rabbi looked at him and says, I have the answer. And he said, what? You do have a goat, right? You have one goat. He knew him. He said, you have a goat, don't you? Yeah. Move the goat into the house with you. He said, what? He said, move the goat into the house with you. The next week, the man comes back. He said, and come back and see me in a week. That's like take an aspirin, you know. Move the goat into the house with you. You're not. And come back and see me in a week. He came back in a week. He said, it's horrible. It's worse than it was last week. He said, the goat is filthy. He's used a bathroom. It's absolutely horrible. And the rabbi said, take the goat out. Next week, he came back. Life is great. I mean, it is wonderful. We're all in this house, just nine of us. Come on, son. We're just nine of us in this house. Remember this old saying? Put that saying up there, would you? It says, from the day of your birth till you ride in a hearse, there's nothing that happened that couldn't be worse. Come on, somebody. Come on, give them a good clap off real more time. You got to do that. You know, the priority of praise is when you're just thankful for what the Lord's done for you. You know, you're thankful, on and on and on. And remember Jack Hayford told the story. He said, you know, when he was young, he used to make money. And he said, I used to give to the Lord a tenth. He said, from the time I was a little boy, my mom and dad always put 10 pennies, gave us each 10 cents. And we'd take one penny off the stack and give it to the Lord every Sunday morning. He said, we just learned how to do that. He said, working on our own, he said, we used to make some money. He said, I always gave 10%. I made $100. I'd give $10 to the Lord. He said, I'll never forget. He said, the time that he said, I started making very good money. And he said, and he said, and the Lord spoke to him and said this, it's still only one penny out of every dime. Come on, somebody. You put it in perspective. You're thankful to the Lord. You know, it was not only the perfection of praise when this leper said that, but the priority, but it was perfection. And the Greek word means to make the Lord glorious. It says when he gave thanks to the Lord. You know, I don't know what it is, but I know this. We don't know what this guy got more than the other nine, but there seems to be something added to that other nine. Did you notice that? We don't know what it is, but when you praise him and thank him, something else comes in your heart. And something else happens in your heart. So when you begin to do that. So there were categories of offerings in the Old Testament. One of the categories was a peace offering. And that's where thank offerings come into play. Leviticus chapter 22 says it this way. It says, and when you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. How many of you had brothers and sisters when you grew up? Let's see your hands. How many of you ever had a fight with your brothers and sisters when you grew up? How many of you, in the heat of the moment, your parents brought you together, Johnny, tell Susie you're sorry. I'm sorry. How many know the words were there? How many know the heart was not there? And there is a way to come in to the, it says, come into his presence with thanksgiving. Come to his courts with praise. You can come in and you can be saying the right words. But if you don't offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving in the right way, it won't be accepted. I'm sorry. I love you, Lord. And there is a way to do it when you begin. And it doesn't take much to begin to get in a heart of gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord when you begin to put it in perspective. When you begin to realize all that we ever had was from Him anyway. All that we ever will have is from Him. And you just got to get it. Hebrews 13 and 15 says this. Through Him let us continue. Everybody say continually. Let us through Him continually. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Listen, I would like to take can you imagine if I would say, I want to put a device on you. I've got this new device. You won't know it. I'm going to pluck it into the side of your head. You won't even feel it. We're going to shoot it in your head. And what it's going to do is it's going to tape record and it's going to record and send back over here everything you say today. Every word, every syllable, everything you utter. From the fruit of your lips. And then we're going to break it down into different categories. Complaining is one category. And then one of the categories is going to be the giving of thanks. And what percentage of your day would be given to giving of thanks versus everything else, especially this big category of complaining?
Got to get a better amen in this Presbyterian church this morning.
If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you're better than 6 million people that didn't survive this week. 6 million people died. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people this week. You sat down to breakfast this morning like I did. We're ahead of 500 million people didn't do that this morning. They had nothing to eat. Nothing to eat. If you have not seen the inside of a jail cell for a while, let's just say it like that for a while, you're ahead of 500 million people. Let me tell you something. There are those that are experiencing. Listen, you know one of the things about Christmas lights? Many of the Christmas lights that we have put on our trees come from China. If you look on the back of your box, made in China. But you know what the amazing thing is when you study it out? Many of those lights are made by prisoners, religious prisoners in China. Whenever you put your lights on your tree this year, just remember, don't be guilty, but be grateful. And then remember to pray for them. You've got to be thankful when you put it all back in perspective. If you attend church this morning, if you came and you didn't have one fear that Baton Rouge police was sitting out there taking your tag number, that the Baton Rouge police was sitting out there filming you, taking pictures of you, that they're going to show up at your door this afternoon or in the morning or sometime during this week to arrest you because you came here. I got the number here. You're ahead of 3 billion people on this planet. Isn't that great? 3 billion people have to make their way to churches hoping nobody sees them. You remember the young girl, I forgot what communist country was in. She was on her way to a communion service. And she got caught by the communist soldiers. And they said, "Where are you going?" And she couldn't lie as a Christian. And she said, "Lord, give me wisdom." And she said this. She said, "My older brother has died and I'm going to hear the reading of the will." Come on, somebody. If you don't know what that means, get saved. All right, come on, somebody. Don't wait to be happy. If you're waiting for your income to reach a certain level, that's a pie in the sky. I'm waiting till I'm married, then I'll really be happy. I used to pray I used to have a singles group. I used to over at Hammond. I used to laugh at it because they would pray. Some of these people would pray, "Oh, Lord, don't let Jesus come till I get married. Don't let Jesus come till I get married." I said, there's a whole lot of people praying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Okay, that's all. Come on, everybody stand up. when was World War II? What years were World War II? I think it was 42 or 43 that Eddie Rickenbacker, you remember him? Eddie Rickenbacker was sent on a mission on a B-17. He had gotten a crew, a handpicked crew. He was to deliver a message to Douglas MacArthur. And out on their flight on this B-17 across the ocean, it went down. And he was 30-some years old at that point, or 40-some years old. And after days and days and days of, they had a life raft that they had out of the plane. And after days and days of eating everything they had left, the starvation began to set in. And one day he's there and he says he's half asleep, half awake, and the rest of them are sleeping. That as they're just aimlessly floating on the ocean, he said he felt something land on his head. And he said, I cannot tell you how I know what it was without looking up and stirring, because he said, I just knew in my mind it was a seagull. It was a seagull. And he said, the other guys began to wake up, but nobody moved. To them, this was ribeye steak. I mean, it's just this filet mignon sitting there. And he said, and I very quickly, my hand, and grabbed. And they said that we were hundreds and hundreds, almost over 1,200 miles away from land. Where did this seagull come from? Grabbed it. They got it. They ate the meat for food. They took the intestines and used it for bait. And they survived it because of that seagull. He never forgot that. You know what he did? For the next 30-some years, every Friday afternoon, I think he ended up in Florida where he retired. He said, you could go down to the beach on a Friday afternoon and you could see on this long pier this elderly man. He never missed a Friday night with his bucket of stuff. He'd go out on the end of that pier and he would throw this stuff up to feed the seagulls, because he never forgot. You know, in 1923, I think it was, one of the worst earthquakes and floods ever happened in Japan. I don't know if you remember the story. But I forgot how many millions on millions died, how many were starving, how many. And you ought to have seen this. It hit Japan so bad, one of the worst disasters in history. And when you read the accounts of it back in the 20s, that America, by the shiploads, began to send supplies. By the shiploads, doctors and nurses and rescue workers went to Japan. By the shiploads. And they said millions upon millions that would have died did not die because of America. In fact, one of the great Japanese poets wrote a poem, and the name of the poem was this: "We will never forget." But only some decades later, they did forget. And before you're too quick to condemn the Japanese, how many of us forget to be thankful for what we said we'll never forget? We'll give it all. Bow your heads this morning. Would you do that? Father, we just thank you for this Thanksgiving, and we have so much to be thankful for. We ask you, Lord, to open our hearts to receive from you. We pray as we fellowship and we eat, we don't feel guilty, but just grateful. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for our lives. Thank you for the blessings that you have given to us, to our city, to our state, to our nation, to our world. We cannot. You so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son. What a wonderful world it really is, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what I started to play this morning was what a wonderful world. It really is. The Lord really has given us a great world to live in. Okay, everybody say amen this morning. Would you give the Lord a good clap offering? All right, come on.